learned about me, but that's cool. My name's Gary. I'm glad you're hanging out with us today. I'm on staff here for Student Ministries. Yeah, you can come bring it. My Vanna White is here with my drink. She's fabulous. This is Lorelai. She's brilliant. She makes a mean cup of hot cider to help a brother out here. So yeah, I'm Gary. I'm glad you're hanging out with us today. Where are all the people that are about to graduate from high school? Raise your hand for me. Woo! Okay, how many of you are super pumped? Yes, I'm going to be done with high school. And you're also getting, way beyond the senioritis thing. It started your junior year, and so now you're oh my gosh, I am so done. And you ditch class four times a week. Anybody want to own up to that? Nice. You're a junior and you do that. Even better. That's good. I was the same as you guys in high school, where my mom was so nice where she just let me write my own notes and stuff. So don't do what I do. Or do what I do, your call. No, I'm just kidding. And where are the graduates? You're about to graduate and you're oh crap. I don't know what I'm going to do with my life after I graduate. Anyone raise their hand for that? They're no, I don't. You're a junior, stop it. Okay, you still don't know. Okay, that's fine. So there's a couple of you that you're wait, when I graduate, that means I don't go back here in the fall and I don't know where else I'm going to go. You're just kind of freaking out. But, it's getting that time of year where you're thinking about what's next and everything. And for me, I was thinking about it this week. I don't mean to be a downer, but I only have 3 more weeks here until I move to California. So I don't mean to be a downer, but I am a downer. Sorry. But yeah, so this Sunday and then 3 more after this. So I was just oh my gosh, this is getting close. We have to, it's going to happen. We just have to talk about it, friends. We're having a DT. Fish said there's girls here, I can't cry. That's great. And maybe you're new around here, you're I don't even know you. I don't even care that you're moving, so move on, bro, I know that there are some of you I don't even know that guy. And compared to the Jared, the youth pastor, the new guy, you're not nearly as attractive. And he's white, so I like him more already. So it's you're just thinking that, so it's all good. But that being said, with only a few weeks being left of me being here before we move, I just figured rather than doing some new series that we have to feel like there's an agenda, I have to talk about these things, I just was why don't I just talk about the things that I really care about? And so I'm going to talk this week. Then we have Student Ministry Sunday next week, so you got to come to that. We're going to take over the auditorium and rock out and have to give earplugs to the grandmas and grandpas because it's too loud for them. So it's going to be a lot of fun. So come either 9 o'clock or 11 o'clock. And then the week after that, Jordan's going to talk for the last time. And then the 22nd is our last Sunday. So you better be here. I'm going to punch you in the throat, okay? Because we need to cry together, okay? So that's the deal. So that, like I said, I just want to talk about a few things that I just really care about in these last few times I talk. So grab your outline, and I want to start with asking you this question, because I was just thinking about it this week. And I want you to write this down, but don't breeze past this real quick. Really, take a second to think about this, okay? I want you to write this down. Does coming here really change you? Okay? Caleb's excited because he nailed the fill-in, I think, right? Okay, like I said, don't just breeze past this question. Really think about it for a second. Does being involved at High Point, does having this relationship with God, being saved by Jesus, does it actually change you? Okay? I want you to think about that because I think it's a really important thing for us to stop every once in a while because I think what can happen for us if you do the church thing for a while is you can just get into this religious routine. You just kind of start showing up to church and it's part of the tradition. To be a good person, I need to come to church. And the reality behind the scenes is that your heart's not into it at all. And that can happen so much. It's happened to me before. I know it's happened to probably every single person in this room. That's just the reality of what happens with faith, is that it can be so easy to get into this place where it just becomes a mindless tradition and a religion when Jesus, he didn't come here to just give us a religion to follow. He came to give us life and to give us the best life possible. And so we have to really guard ourselves from that and always have our hearts be into this thing. Because we can learn a lot about God, you get a bunch of head knowledge and feel oh yeah, I know these things about God. But it never makes it to the heart level to where it actually changes you. And that's a really dangerous position to be in. And I know that this is true too, that you can come here for years and you'll never be changed. You can sit in here, you can hear every single possible sermon we share with you, you can go to every single group life, and your life could still be completely the same because your heart's not into it. And Jesus wants to change you at a heart level, not just change your behavior or make you look more religious. He wants to change you from the inside out. And there are churches all across the world that are filled with a bunch of people that are in that place where they show up every week, but it's just religion for them. It's like, okay, well, I've been doing this since I was a kid, or my parents told me I have to do this, and so you just keep doing it. And so churches are filled with a bunch of religious people that aren't changed. And that's the reality of this room today, right? Like, if we're honest, like, that's where a lot of people stand. And so I think what happens is we forget the reason why we are here. And we forget that God is the one that created us, and he created us for a specific purpose to be all about certain things in this life. And the other thing is that what he says in Scripture is that whatever you do with your life here on earth determines what happens for eternity. So I need a couple of volunteers to illustrate this. I always pick you, Fish. Herbie, you want to come up? Brandon, come here. Okay, so here's what I want you to do. I want you to grab this piece of the yarn, and then you come on the side. And just hold this up for me for a second. Hold it nice and tight there. Okay, so I want you to think about life in the scope of eternity for a second, okay? So life has been going on for a really, really long time, like thousands of years. Now, we live for what? 60, 70, 80 years max. That's kind of what most of us will stand. So if you think about life in the scope of like all the time that has already gone by, and then think about the future, like eternity, like forever. Like this line, this thing should just keep going and going and going. So my life, 70 years that I'm going to live here, maybe 80 because I'm Asian and we're more healthy than the white people. My life is like the tiniest speck right here, okay? So in the scope of eternity, that's how small my life is. So what I'm saying is, doesn't it make sense to figure out, okay, in this little speck that I have, it makes sense to figure out what I'm supposed to be doing here on earth, so that way for all of eternity, I can have the life that God really wants me to have. Okay, thanks. You guys can put that down. Okay, so just think about that. Like your life in the scope of eternity, it's like the Bible talks about it being a breath, or it's like the wind. It just blows right through and then it's gone. Like that's how the Bible talks about our lives. And so we have to really take to heart, why are we here taking breath today? If we were to sit, you and me, just one-on-one having coffee, and I were to ask you this question, what is your purpose in life? What would you say? You don't have to answer out loud. But if you're sitting with somebody and they're just like, I want to know, like, we're all here, we're all like on this planet Earth, and we're breathing, and like it seems like there's supposed to be something I'm supposed to be all about, but like if I were to ask you that, what would you say? What is your purpose in life? Why are you taking breath in this moment right now, sitting in this room? Would you even have an answer for it? Or is it just like, you know what? I don't really know. Because I think we fall into one of two categories. Either you're somebody that maybe you didn't grow up in a religious tradition or something like that. And for you, nobody's really told you. And so you're just kind of going through life and you're looking at what everybody else does. And it seems like, okay, my life is supposed to be all about, I got to make sure I like go to college and get a good job. And I'm supposed to have a family and make sure I have enough money to take care of that family. And that's what it seems like is what people are all about, right? Like that's just kind of what is common in our culture. So that's what you see. So nobody's really told you, like, God has you here for a specific purpose that he wants you to live out. So you fall into that category, or you fall into, and this is the one that most of you probably will fall into because you're here today, is that you've been told what your life is supposed to be about, but you've forgotten to actually live that way. Because you've been distracted by other things, other stuff's more important. And honestly, we're just really dumb. Like, that's why the Bible talks about us as sheep. Sheep, if you haven't noticed, they're like the stupidest animal on the planet. They're just so dumb. So I think God, sometimes, he looks down and this is what he sees. Just like, we're these sheep that are just all like dumb and stupid, and we just like get stuck doing our own thing, and we don't do what actually matters. And I have to show you actually the caption for this picture, so throw the next one up. If you can't see it from the back, it says, in safety study, sheep on meth are shocked with tasers. I don't know who gets paid to do that, but that seems a little messed up if you're me, right? Yeah, or I think God looks down at us and this is what he sees. So we're just like these really dumb sheep that get caught up in doing our own thing or chasing after pleasure and satisfaction, and then we're just kind of lost and then we're stuck. Like, that sheep is. Okay, you can get rid of the sheep. But I think that's sometimes what God sees, and it doesn't mean he like hates us or anything for it, but the reality is that he says, you are sheep, and you need somebody to follow. You need, essentially, you need a purpose in life. And God says, I want to give that to you. So I want to read this scripture to you that I've read so many times around here since I've been here. It'll be 5 years by July. And so let me set it up real quick. It's on your outline. What's happening is a guy is coming to Jesus, a religious guy, and he's trying to stump him. So he wants to ask him this question, hoping that he can like trap and be like, okay, this Jesus guy, he says that he's God. So if I ask him some questions, I could stump him and show him that he's not really God. And so this religious guy comes up and he asks him, of everything that is written in this book, of all the commandments and everything, what is the most important? And so here's how Jesus responds. Jesus, God in the flesh, giving us an accurate picture of who God is, says this. Love the eternal one, your God, with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is nearly as important. I want you to underline that, nearly as important. Love your neighbor as yourself. The rest of the law and all the teachings of the prophets are but variations on these themes. So Jesus answers the question. This guy is really asking, what is my purpose in life? Why am I here right now? What am I supposed to be living for? And he says two things. You can write these down. First one, love God completely. Number two, love others like you love you. So this huge, like really profound question is asked of Jesus, and he answers it with this really simple, simple phrase. He says, love God and love people. That's it. Like, that's what your life is all about. This is why we are in this room right now. We are taking breath. You are taking breath right now because God created you for a purpose, and this is your purpose, to love him with all of your being, like completely, and to love the person sitting right next to you just as much as you love yourself. So that's essentially what Jesus is saying here. And as simple as it sounds, like, oh yeah, okay, I can say that. Like, yeah, love God, love people. That's my purpose in life. It's really hard to actually do, right? Because people are annoying. People, like, do stuff to mess with you. They hurt you. And you're like, maybe I can do the love God thing because he's so amazing and always there for me. But people just screw life up for me all the time. And so it's a really hard thing to do. And I think the other problem is that we confuse and we don't really understand what love actually is. Because for me, like I say, I love God, and then I love hockey, and I love my wife, Lindsay. Boy, do I love my wife, Lindsay. Sorry. Yep, I went there. Or you love your car. Or if you're Andrew, you love Zelda, and you should be shot. I mean, and you listen to Zelda in the car. And you got a girlfriend somehow. What happened? I don't know. No, I'm just kidding. Or if you're Caitlin, then you love Pokemon. Really? No, not yeah. No, no is what you're supposed to say to that. Right? Like we love all these different things that... So it's like, what does this word actually mean? Or if you're like, where's Emma at? Emma, where are you at, Emma? Jerome? There you are. Okay, so I just want to tell you the story. Emma loves to get shot by paintballs, okay? So we went paintballing a couple months ago, and usually you're supposed to have a strategy to not get hit by the paintballs. Number one, it hurts like hail, okay? It hurts a lot. Number two, duh, okay? So you're supposed to have a strategy, but here's Emma's strategy. Run out into the open field and not hide by anything and just get shot. So she got shot like 25 times, didn't use any of like the cool barriers or like stuff to hide behind. And so it's like, Emma loves to get shot by paintballs, apparently. It's something new I learned about her. But then we can also say, like I said before, like, but I love Jesus and I want to follow him. So we have all these different like ways we describe it. Or maybe you're thinking about like the different people that maybe have shaped love for you in your life. It's in a lot of us, it's our parents. So you're like, well, my dad said he loved me, but then he left. So I don't really understand, because isn't love supposed to never abandon someone? Or I want to share the story that somebody told me last summer. It was that she was graduating, a girl from our youth group, and she was telling me that her mom, I don't know if this was in junior high or whatever, came to her and just was like, okay, I've spent my whole life trying to make you happy, and now it's time for me to make me happy. So then she just moved across the country. And so for her, it's like, wait, my mom says she loves me, but she just left. And it didn't even seem like it really impacted her or it mattered. You know, it's like we have these really bad pictures of what love is, but then we have some really good ones. Like, I think about somebody like for myself, my mom, like, dude, that woman loves me too much. Like, she still spoils me, and I'm 31. 31? Oh, my word, I'm so old. I'm 31 now, and she still spoils me. Like, I know my mom would, she would give up anything for me. Like, she would sacrifice her life for me. If I were to say, like, yeah, mom, I got cancer, I can't pay the bill, she would sell everything she had and be like, okay, I'm going to take care of you and pay all the bills and whatever. Like, I know my mom would do that. She would sacrifice so much for me. And so we also have like these really good pictures of what love is. And so that's what Jesus is saying here. He's saying, I want you to love God and love people the way that you have seen what real love is. Like this true, deepest form of what love is. To see sacrifice, to see generosity, to see somebody provide hope to you. That's what I want you to do in your relationship with God. And then I want you to dispense that to all the people around you. That's what your purpose in life is. And so I've said this for years around here, like, love God, love people, love God, love people. That's it. But I can say it every week, and there are some of you in here that you will never get it. To be honest, like, you'll just never understand it, because you'll go to school tomorrow, and you'll see somebody you don't like in the hall and be like, oh, I hate that guy. Or I hate that girl because she's such a gossip, or she's such a slut, or whatever. And so then you start to look at people through this filter, and it's like, wait a minute, just on Sunday we talk about love God, love people, and not even 24 hours later, it's already back to this, like, this hatred that we have for others. And so some of us, we'll just never actually hear it and actually start to live this thing out. And it's kind of like, how many of you know what a harmony is? Raise your hand. That was not one. Okay, there's like a handful of you. Okay, now, who is really, that would not mind being up in front of everybody, really bad at singing and don't know what a harmony is? Who's that over there? Okay, you want to come up here for me? Okay. Can you turn the microphone on? I forgot to tell you this before. Okay, so here's the deal. Like, there are some of you out there, like, you can sing a harmony with my talking voice right now because you just hear it right now. But others of us, we don't know what the heck that means, a harmony. So here, you test that out. Say hi.
Hi.
Tell everybody your name.
Preston.
This is Preston. Preston balled it up yesterday. If I would have played against your team, I would have lost. Let's be real.
No, I don't think you would have.
Okay, so Preston, you have no idea what a harmony is.
Well, I do, but like I can't sing with anything.
Okay, you can't sing with anything. Okay, nah. So what I want you to do is I'm just gonna like hum a note, and then I want you to try and sing a harmony with me, okay? But you have to do it nice, loud, and proud in that microphone for me, okay? you want to try this out with me? Okay.
Wait, what?
Okay, you got. Okay,
I hear
we
my
got
sister,
this.
Sister, but I can't see her because it's like bright light.
It's bright. I know. It's okay. So I'm gonna hum a note, and you're gonna sing a harmony with me, or try to attempt. Sound good? Here we go.
Not really, but
we'll go with it. see, like I've heard about a harmony. My sister might be able to sing, but you cannot.
Dude, you should have her come up here and sing.
Hey, you want to come up here and sing?
Yeah, come on, Caitlin.
Where are you, Caitlin?
Come on.
No.
She had a voice. Yesterday. Not
really?
Yesterday, the day
Caitlin,
before.
Get up here. Come on.
Come on.
You want to do it for me? What if I buy you lunch today? No?
Come on.
Okay. That's worth a shot. Okay. Let's see here. Jordan Merck, come on up here. All right, Jordan. So this is Jordan. This is Jordan. Jordan, what... No. Okay. I was going to ask you a really awkward question, but I shouldn't do that right now. We'll talk about it later. Okay, so you know how to sing harmony.
I think.
Yeah, this may be a bad example, too. Okay, so I'm going to sing a note.
Okay.
Wait, one more time. Let's do it. Oh, you got it. You nailed it. Okay, one more time. Wait, we should, like... No.
Do the high one again.
The high one again?
Okay. No, don't quite go that high.
I can't really select where I'm going. My voice just goes there.
Okay.
We used to play this game. Really, it was really stupid. This is totally not related, but I'm in charge, so shut up. You're going to listen to me. So we would do this thing where we would try and do a really, really low note and go instantly to a high note. So you go... You know, you should try it sometime. It's really fun. Okay, so... Okay, thank you. Give him a hand for... That was good. Okay, so, that being said, okay, most of you in this room, harmony, you're like, I don't know what the heck that is. That's me. I can't sing a harmony. There's no way. Somebody could stand next to me and sing the harmony. I still wouldn't be able to find it. You know, it's like, and I think that's the way it is with this idea of love God, love people. Like, I can say so many times, this is what your purpose in life is. But just like many of us can't find a harmony, we can't seem to understand, like, to really get it and live this out. Like, you are supposed to love God and love people, and that's what your life's about. Like, that's what Jesus is saying. Essentially, that is what you're supposed to be all about at all times in your life. And so, you know, you've heard me say this so many times over the years, and I was thinking about, like, but what does this love actually look like? You know, like, what are the examples that I've seen that like, this love is supposed to be so attractive to the people around us that they just can't help? Like, there should be people, like, pounding on that door right now because they're like, this place is so loving that I have to get in this room because they care about me way too much. Like, that's what the church should be, should embody this deep, true meaning of what love is, but we just don't. And there's not people standing at the door like, I have to get into this place to be around these people. And so I was thinking about, like, when have I seen these moments where I've been able to experience what true love is. And so I was thinking about last summer when we went to Vancouver, which I'm so pumped for the many of you that are going to Vancouver this coming summer. You're going to have such an awesome time, and I'm really jealous because I love that trip so much. But what happened last year was that we took our whole team up there, and then there was this group of, like, I think 4 or 5 Canadian people that were like leading our trip for us and taking us around to different sites and all that. And so in some ways, we were taking High Point and trying to insert ourselves into their culture and their world. And then in other ways, they were inserting themselves into our world, our High Point-ness, which is crazy and awkward and ridiculous, but also wonderful. And so what happened was the first night we were there, we got to just go around the room and share about why we were on this trip and what we were hoping to get out of it. And it was cool because one of the leaders, one of the Canadian girls, her name was Liz, she started to talk and she was like, I just want to tell you guys that I've never seen a youth group love each other the way that you guys do. She's like, I can just tell you guys love each other so much. And I'm thinking, really? I mean, have you heard the way that I talk to the students? Like, hey, stupid, knock that off, you know, or come on, dumb A. I would never say the actual word. No. But I'm like thinking, she actually saw us loving each other in such a way that it made this huge impact that she's just like, I've never seen love like this in a youth group. And she came from a youth group and she's like, my youth group was not like this where you guys are so like connected and you care about each other. There's none of this like clickiness or whatever. Like you just really love each other. And that was one of those times where I was just like, this is what it's supposed to be like. Like this is what everybody is supposed to see in us because it's supposed to be attractive and draw them in. And it's supposed to be this natural thing too, where like, I didn't sit down with our entire team and be like, all right guys, before we get on those vans, you need to make sure you're on your best behavior because they're Canadians up there. And I don't know if they hit children, but they might hit you. You know, it's like, so we need to be careful guys. So watch your mouth and let's make sure we're safe and let's make sure we show them we're Christians. It's like, I didn't have to have some spiel. We just went up there and we were like, calling each other tools and stuff, and like, you know, like all this different stuff where that's our love language here, I think, is sarcasm. It's like, hey, Josh, I love you, but you suck. You know, it's like, that's how we just talk to each other. But she saw something in us, and something that pointed her to our Creator and pointed her to what true love is. And I want you to think about the last time that you were just like completely overwhelmed with love. Because somebody was doing something for you, not because you were doing something for them, but a time when somebody did something to serve you or to be there for you, you just felt like, oh my gosh, you felt a little bit guilty, like you can't love me this much. It's not okay for you to do something this nice for me. And I can brag on him because he's not here today, but Mike, you guys know Michael Overholz, but it was really cool because, where's Terry at? Terry? Back there. A few weeks ago, Michael just went up to Terry and was like, hey, I'm going to pay for you to go to move this summer. So for a high schooler to tell another high schooler, hey, I'm going to spend $300 for you to be able to go to camp, so you don't have to worry about it. Just make sure you're packed and ready to go. Like, what an expression of love, because it's this form of sacrifice and this generosity. And I know, I remember talking to Terry about it. She felt guilty. She's like, am I allowed to accept that? Like, that seems too nice. But that's the kind of love that Jesus wants us to embody, that he wants us to pass on to others, this sacrifice, this generosity, this do whatever it takes kind of mentality. And that kind of love is what Jesus is saying here. So he's like, love God in that same way with that sacrifice mentality. Like, if God tells you to do something, that you're just like, I will do it. Nothing's going to stop me. I will follow him and do whatever it takes. And then when there's somebody that's in need around you, that you would do whatever it takes to meet the need, to love that person. Whether it's an enemy, a stranger, your best friend, whoever it might be. That's the love I want you to embody to every single person you come in contact with. And I think there's a reason that it starts, Jesus says, first, love God. And then he gets to the love people. Because you can't love other people unless you first have experienced love. And so you have to receive the fact that Jesus died for you. He went to a cross for you to give his life so that way you could be separated from hell for eternity. Like that's why he did that for you. And so you have to receive the fact that God the Father would send his son to go through all that torture and that pain and just receive me. Like, okay, God, I don't know why you love me that much, but I want to receive that and really experience what that means for me. And then I can pass it out to other people. And if you don't hear anything else that I've said today, just hear this. God made you to love you. That's it. God made you to love you, to receive that love, and then dish it out to whoever and whenever. And I want to paint a picture for you real quick as we wrap up. See, I think the problem is we just don't really understand what God's love is really like. And so I think this is how we understand his love. So it's like, okay, yeah, God loves me. And so he kind of, maybe before you became a Christian, or maybe you feel right now, you feel kind of empty and like purposeless and like you don't have meaning. And you're like, okay, well, God loves me. So he gives me a little bit of, like he fills me up a little bit. So I'm not as empty. And so then we look and we're like, okay, that's like the experience of love that we have with God. It's like, I guess there's just a little bit. And we don't really understand that God's love is actually, he just keeps pouring and pouring and pouring. He's like, I love you, you screwed up, but I still love you. And even though you walk away from me, I still love you. And then it's like all the way to the brim. And it's like we're filled with this sense of purpose and hope and eternity. And then it goes even farther because he's like, well, I still have more love to give you. And so he keeps pouring it. And then it starts to come off because that overflowing amount of love that God has for us is supposed to just come out of our lives in this natural way of like, God saved me from hell, so I can't help but do something about it and to love the people around me and help them experience that as well. And so this is supposed to be a picture of what God's love is like. It's so overflowing. It's something that we have so much of it, but we just can't even help but just tell people about it and pass it on to others. And I want to read you this last verse here out of John 13. It says here in verse 34, this is Jesus talking here. He says, so I give you a new command. Love each other deeply and fully. I love that it says deeply and fully. Remember the ways that I have loved you and demonstrate your love for others in those same ways. Now catch this. Everyone will know you as my followers if you demonstrate your love to others. So what I'm saying is, ultimately we want the world to know about this love we've experienced. And the only way they're going to do it is if us in this room, we catch it and we go, okay, I get it, God, you love me that much. So I'm going to go and I'm going to go after people and help them experience that love. So maybe just think about that as a really clear action step. Who's just one person in your life that if I ask you the question, do you hate anybody? And then you think of that person. What I would say, God wants you to go and love that specific person that you say that you hate. He wants you to forgive him if there's some kind of mess in the relationship, or he simply wants you to just do something to get over your hatred and choose to love. So with that, go ahead and grab your comm cards. You can pull those bad boys out. We'll have our response time here as we wrap it up. So these cards in your handout are really important to us because we want to be people that respond to what God says to us, not just be like, okay, cool, I heard a good talk, and now I'll just go back to live the same. Like, indicate what those decisions are. There's something powerful about checking off that box that kind of, it gets stuck in you. You're like, okay, I need to actually do something about that. Whether it's maybe you need to make that decision, just get baptized. That's a first step for somebody. That's your initiation, not a graduation. So maybe that's a step you can take. Or maybe you have some questions about God and you want to talk to somebody. We'd love to talk to you. If you have prayer requests, write those down on there. We have a team that prays for you guys every single week. But respond in some way. And like Kyle said before, if you're new here, fill out that whole card and we'll make a donation in your honor to this organization that we support called the Mentoring Project. Just as our way of saying thanks for just hanging out with us today. So I want to invite the ushers to come forward and then I'll pray and we'll watch a video.